precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for how good you are to us, and how, Lord, we have that confidence in our hearts that we believe in the most powerful power that there could ever be. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we work and dwell with you, Lord, that we would feel your presence, Lord, and know that you're there, that we are unshakable when we're rooted in the arms of God. Just pray, Lord, you be with us, Lord, and help us to be a witness for you every day of our lives, and we'll give you the credit. And all this in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, and it's good to be with you this morning. You are listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by the Clear Creek Congregation. At this time, our ladies are coming. They're going to be singing, Faith is the Victory.
This is a big Tom chased the young men who were stealing his poor friend's bike. He didn't have a plan. He only knew he needed to get it back. To his surprise, the three thieves looked his way, dropped the bike, and backed away. Tom was both relieved and impressed with himself as he picked up the bike and turned around. That's when he saw Jeff, his muscular friend who had been trailing close behind. In Kings 2, Elijah's servant panicked when he saw his town surrounded by an enemy army. He ran to Elijah. "Oh no, Lord, what shall we do?" Elijah told him to relax. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then God opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. If you strive to follow Jesus, you may find yourself in some dicey situations. You may risk your reputation and perhaps even your security because you're determined to do what's right. You may lose sleep wondering how it will all turn out. Remember, you're not alone. You don't have to be stronger or smarter than the challenge before you. Jesus is with you, and his power is greater than all rivals. Ask yourself Paul's question. If God is with us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Really, who? No one. Run towards your challenge with God. Help me, Jesus, to truly see that you're bigger than any problem facing me today. Thank you for overcoming and giving me victory.
I'm thankful that the one that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. We want to say thank you once again for tuning us in today. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by WSKE 104.3 FM. At this time, our ladies are coming. They're going to be singing, "He is Able to Deliver Thee."
He is able.
And our God is able. He gives us promises in his word that there's no temptation that will overcome us, that he is not able to make a way of escape. In just a moment, our pastor's wife is going to be giving the children's story, but just before that, the group is going to be singing Victory in Jesus.
Allowing God. Sarah had been having a difficult time at work. She used to love waking up in the morning and heading to the office. Lately, however, she dreaded every minute that she would be there. She found herself constantly looking at the clock to see whether it was time to punch out for the day. Sarah's trouble began about a month earlier. The owner of the company had devised a plan that would help split up the work among the managers so that everyone would know whom to go to if he had a problem. Sarah had been a manager for 2 years already. When she went to the meeting where the owner explained his plans, Sarah was excited. She found herself on only the third rung of management. If she ever had a problem, she knew she would always go to the person ahead of her on the second rung. But it did not take long for things to fall apart. Logan was also on the third rung of management. He gave the impression that he was God's gift to mankind and that the business could not run without him, in spite of the fact that he had just transferred there from another company within the last year. He received the management position only because of his experience. After watching his work performance, Sarah had a feeling he had fibbed a little bit on his application and during his job interview. But Sarah minded her own business and did not allow herself to make any comments about Logan whatsoever. She figured that keeping her mouth shut was one way she could keep her testimony for God positive. One afternoon, in a forced meeting with Logan, Sarah laid out a couple of ideas she had for new incoming employees. Her ideas would help train them a little better, give them more time to become acclimated to the job, and answer any questions that might arise. "I don't think those are going to work," was all Logan had to say about her ideas. Sarah just let it drop. The following week at work, Sarah's supervisor brought her a packet with some instructions. "Here, Sarah, you have a new group of people coming in today for training. Logan put together a packet for you because he thought it might make your job a little easier." Again, without allowing her anger toward Logan to show, she responded with a simple, "Thank you." In the few minutes that she had before her trainees came in, she looked over the packet that Logan had put together. Anger almost overtook her as she looked through it. The packet contained all her ideas that he had turned down. She could feel her face getting hot with anger. Looking at the clock, she saw that her trainees were due any minute. There was no time to do anything. She took a deep breath, forcing herself to calm down, and she prayed. "Lord, I don't know why you allowed Logan to be in my life. He certainly doesn't make it any better. All he does is make me angry, and I have to keep a watch on my testimony day after day. Please give me wisdom on how to handle the situation. Amen." After her training session was over and Sarah had had a few minutes to think about it, she decided she was just going to let the matter drop. She realized she would just look spiteful if she went to her supervisor about the issue. There was no guarantee that the issue would be resolved anyway. However, the following week at work, something else came up. One of the employees who knew that Sarah was a Christian came to her with a prayer request. "I don't know whom to tell this to, but I need somebody who I know will be praying along with me. I don't want to gossip, and I know you won't pass this along any further. I just found out that Logan is seeing my cousin, who's already married." At first, Sarah did not know what to say. She was shocked. "Are you sure about this?" The employee nodded. "I've suspected it for a while, and last night I saw them together at the mall. They were not acting like friends, if you know what I mean." Sarah did not know what to say except, "I promise I'll pray." She prayed but told no one about Logan. She figured it was no one's business but his own. Over the next several days, she lifted Logan up in prayer. She even tried to be nice to him at work and not ignore him quite as much as she had before. But he did not seem to appreciate her kindness. The next thing she knew, she was being called into the owner's office. Before the owner even asked questions, she started in on Sarah. "I thought you would know better than that, Sarah. I can't allow discord among my employees, especially between the managers. When there's a problem in a small business like this, everyone knows about it." Sarah just stared at her, not quite sure what to say. "I don't know what you're talking about."
"You don't?"
"No, ma'am. Logan told me that you and another employee have been talking about him behind his back. He said that you've been spreading rumors about him to everyone else who works here. Ring any bells?" Silently, Sarah sent up a prayer for wisdom. "I only talked about Logan to one employee. Actually, that employee came to me. She knew that I'm a Christian and that I would pray for Logan. I don't know all the details of Logan's life, and I have not spoken to anyone about him. Sarah wiped away a tear. Her boss looked at her. This is really upsetting you, isn't it? Sarah nodded her head. Well, yes. I would never do anything to harm anybody, not even Logan. Sarah almost sneered at the end of that statement, but she restrained herself. You and Logan don't get along very well, do you? I try to just stay away from him, Sarah said truthfully. Can I ask you a question? Anything. Sarah did not have anything to hide. This whole new system of hiring trainees that has come up recently, whose idea was that? I guess that depends on whom you ask, said Sarah. Well, Logan said it was his idea. However, now that I think about it, it seems to be more your style than his. Sarah nodded her head and sighed. I was trying not to stir up trouble. I mentioned my ideas to Logan in a meeting. He said they wouldn't work. The next thing I knew, I was handed a packet and told to implement Logan's ideas, the ones I had shared in my next training class. I'm sure you were angry. I wasn't happy, Sarah agreed. Why didn't you retaliate and tell somebody above you at the time? Sarah shrugged her shoulders. It didn't seem that would work out well. If he wanted to take credit for it, fine. I just wanted to try something new with trainees to help them understand the job better. That was what was important to me. I'm glad I hired you. Sarah looked at her. Why? Because I need people with your testimony working for me. I strive to hire employees who are honest and godly. Sarah had known her boss was a Christian as well. Several people in the office often prayed together before work began each day. Sarah thought she was blessed to have this job. On your way out, would you please send Logan in here? Sarah did as she was told and went back to work, not thinking about Logan. It was not long before he was on her mind again. He slammed the door as he came out of the office. He looked right at her and said, "It's your fault I got fired." Sarah silently thanked God, not because Logan had lost his job, but because God had taken care of the situation in his wisdom.
Maybe some of you out there listening have had that experience that you had a job you went to or people you worked with, and you just dreaded getting up in the morning and going to work. I think most of us have had that on occasion. Now, it's not all. Someone once said, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life. And so it's important that we like what we do, enjoy what we do. And it's important, as I've told young people, school is out. Told some young people. Some people say, oh, you got to get a job to make all this money. You got to make bunches and bunches of money. Well, you need to go where God gives you the talents. Ask him to give you direction and let him be your guide in these affairs. We'll get ready to write the Bible question down. We're going to give you that next question after you give the answer to last week and those who had the right answer. Last week, I asked the question, what kind of garden did Ahab want to plant? Well, according to 1 Kings 21:2, a garden of herbs, and some translations said vegetables, so I accepted either one. Lisa Miller, Ron and Dolores Boffman, Justin Mills, Tom and Joanne Detweiler, Randy Miller, Vaughn of Beverly Mills, Paul and Joanne Peachy, Mike and Patty Feaster, Rick and Tanya Valentine, Philip Mack, Johanna Mack, and you have to tell me if I pronounced that wrong. It's Jana or Johanna, I'm not sure. So let me know about that. Shelby Mack, Caleb Mack, April Elliott, Jonah Elliott, Mark and Deb Rosentrader, Marlon and Donna Jean Lynch, Leslie Miller, Mark and Linda Householder. All these had the right answer. We appreciate so much those who look it up, especially listening to the radio broadcast. And last week, Justin Mills got the answer. I didn't get it down in time. For next week, I want you to tell me, who did Rehoboam send to gather the tribute and then was stoned to death? Now, remember, the kingdom was divided. Jeroboam took 10 tribes, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, had the other two tribes. And after the breakup, Rehoboam sent this fella out, and he was supposed to collect the tribute, the tax. And the people didn't like it too well, and they stoned, they did that. So I want you to tell me the name of the guy that Rehoboam sent to gather the tribute. The tribute is what the word is they said. And when you found the answer, give me a call, 814-652-6409. You're listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over the Everett radio station, WSKE 104.3 on the FM dial. We invite you to come worship with us here at Clear Creek. We're located a mile and a half south of Everett along Route 26. Sunday school begins at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Sunday nights and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're in the Breezewood area, Missy Beal, pastor of the Mountain Chapel Church, invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Then in the Fishertown area, the people of the Spring Hope Church invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30, every second and fourth Sunday night at 7 p.m. Then down Hyman Way, Brother Nathan Elliott, pastor of the Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and then out 26 North, Caudill's Corner Way, Kenny Heinisch, pastor of the Yellow Creek Church, invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30. Now also, next week at the Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, they're having Bible school out there. Beginning on Monday, they're having Bible school. I think it's the 15th through the 19th. The time of the school is from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And the night lights are the team that's going to be putting on the Bible school. And then also, beginning in 2 weeks, is our youth camp, the 15th through the 18th, Roxbury Children's Youth Camp. If any children, any teens are interested in going, they can contact us. We'll see about getting them along with that. Well, this morning, I want to read a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, if you read the paper and listen to the news, you see some things that are happening, and you wonder, why is it so much? There have been 5 attempts on President Trump's life. 5 attempts. That is the most in the history of any president in the United States. What is going on? Doesn't mean that there weren't attempts on some other ones. President Reagan was shot. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. There are other ones that people out there, they don't like what the president's doing, so on like it. But why so many attempts on this president? Why is there record attempts on his life? I lived when President Kennedy was assassinated. I remember exactly where I was at when I heard the news about that. I've seen other presidents that have been either shot or attempts made in their lives. However, there's been more on President Trump than any other time that I can remember in my lifetime and from research that I've done in history. Now, there's a reason for this. And today, I want to share with you from Scripture the cause behind this increase. Not every cause, it's not exhaustive. But there are reasons the Scripture tells us why some of these things are happening. Number one, it says in 2 Timothy 3:13, "Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." Evil men and seducers. Now, the word evil comes from the Greek ponos, where we get the idea of pornography. It also carries the idea of degeneracy from the original virtue that a person has. Now, some people, as we get along, we have a general goodness about us, we could say, we're not degenerate. We have a virtue of some sort, but we degenerate from that. Sort of like when you get some food out, it's fresh, and it'll stay fresh for a while, but after a while begins to deteriorate and degenerate, and if it's not used or cooked and not used up after a while, you have to throw it away because it begins to rot, it begins to spoil. Well, this evil gives the idea that something has gone apart and is spoiled. It is degenerate. It's the idea of going from the original what it was. And it also carries the idea of being morally diseased. Morally diseased people are increasing in this country as well as the world. The sodomite crowd is pushing for their perverted way of living and to be accepted by everybody and to recognize them as normal. Well, God made us male and female, and he made man to be attracted to women and women to be attracted to men. Jesus said, there are some who God has made such a way as not to be interested in a man or a woman for his own purposes. He says, Jesus speaking, he said, all men cannot receive this saying. Now, what was going on there was the disciples were asking about the divorce and remarriage issue. And Jesus said about marriage and God made him one man, one woman, and so on like that. And he was talking. And he said, all men cannot receive this saying, say they to whom it's given. For there are some eunuchs. Now, eunuch is someone who's been set apart. They are set apart not to be married. And he said they were born from their mother's womb that way. In other words, God has made some people that they were born with not the natural desire for a woman or a man in that sense there, that they've been set apart by God for that particular thing. And he said there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. Daniel, one of those, and other ones went into captivity. They were, I shouldn't say surgically, but they were physically altered so that they could not propagate children and not a desire toward them. Like you have bulls and those that have farmers, they know exactly what I'm talking about there. And he said, and there will be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. In other words, they have set themselves to be celibate so they can be a missionary to someplace so they don't have the burden of a family upon them, but their whole life is being set toward being right for God's work, not anything else to detract them. He says, he that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Well, it's just because a person does not seem to be attracted to the opposite sex doesn't mean they're homosexual. There are men and women who have been talked into this lifestyle because they were either born a eunuch or they were too shy even to talk to one of the opposite sex. And so they were vulnerable to strong-willed sodomites. I knew of a young man. His mother asked me about praying for her son. He went off to college, and I knew the young man, a very shy young man, and he would not been able to talk to ladies, to girls. I'm very embarrassed or just wouldn't know what to say. He'd stutter or whatever. And he went to college, and he came across a strong-willed sodomite and apparently telling about he doesn't have a girlfriend. They're wondering why, because he's a nice-looking young man. And this sodomite, I feel sure, I don't know positive, feel sure he talked him into the fact, said, well, you must be homosexual then. That doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean that. He was vulnerable. See, some are seemingly not attracted to the opposite sex because of shyness, as I said about, maybe parental background. Maybe they saw some things in their mother growing up that they didn't like, and so I'm not gonna get into that. There are some that they come from a marriage that's broken and not very good, and they say, I don't want that kind of heartache in my family, and so they are not interested in that. Doesn't mean that you were created same-sex attract and homosexual. Now, there are seducers, it also says, and that's the word seducer, comes from a word that means to wail, an imposter. An imposter is one who claims to be something they are not. There are many of those out there in the liberal, woke, cancel culture, BLM, and more movement. They claim to be expert and know a lot. Oh, they claim to be knowledgeable about these matters. And they confuse those that are already confused, and they lead them into a sinful and abominable lifestyle. And when they do that, they lead them into this lifestyle, and then they deceive them into thinking, this person, that man, the president, you see what he's doing? He is your enemy. He's got to be destroyed, got to be removed. And they do something and bring these vulnerable people to the point where they actually act out on it. Some of them are not mentally right. Now, they're weak in the mind. Doesn't mean they're crazy or stupid or anything like that. But they don't have the strong personality and the thinking and reasoning that other ones might do. And so they're easily talked into things, just like little children. You know, at times you tease around with little children about that. I remember my nephew, when he was young, he was visiting in from Texas, and the grass in our yard had not been mowed for a while. And he asked his mother if he could go out and play. And his mother said, yes, go out and play. And my brother was sitting there, and the grass was getting up high. It wasn't super high, but it was up high. And he just said to him, well, be careful when you go out there. The bears don't get you. Well, we thought he went outside. Pretty soon they're looking for him, and here he was in the corner of the house someplace. I said, why didn't you go outside and play? He said, I didn't want any bears getting me. They talked him into the fact that there were bears out there. He believed it. This is the way some of them are, that don't have a strong mind about those things. They're vulnerable, and they're talked into these things by these imposters. This is one of the reasons, I believe, that we're having all these attempts upon President Trump. The one fellow the other week that the shot at the White House, that was reported that he said he was Jesus Christ. Well, he was shot, and it's been long enough ago. He's still dead. He wasn't Jesus Christ. These seducers talk people into it. They're imposters. They say, well, it proves that you're homosexual. It proves that you weren't supposed to be born that way, and all those kind of things there. It proves it. No, it doesn't prove it. They're imposters. They're seducers. They think they know something, but they don't know anything at all. Well, then in 2 Thessalonians, it says, the mystery of iniquity already works. Now, the word mystery of iniquity, literally it means lawlessness. So what Paul is saying is the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Now, there are those who are a law unto their own selves, their own ideas, their own plans, and anything that contradicts their ideas and ways is to be eliminated. Those who attempt to kill President Trump or derail the progress of his making the country great again, they think and they sincerely believe they are doing right. They've been told so. They've been indoctrinated into this evil thinking and reasoning that they no longer have a sense of justice and goodness. Evil is their right, and true right is their wrong. They feel it is their calling to eliminate what they think is wrong. It's hard for us that are normal thinking people that know right and wrong for people to think that killing babies is right. It's hard for me to imagine somebody even thinking that a man with a man, a woman with a woman is right. It's not natural at all. It's hard for me to imagine someone thinking those kind of things. It's hard for me to even imagine someone saying, well, I think I'm born with the biological parts of a man, but I think I was supposed to be a woman, and vice versa. It's hard for me to imagine, well, I guess I can't imagine too much, men wanting to participate in women's sports. They can't win participating in men's sports, so they have to do something so they can win and build up their ego. So I'm going to defeat these women because I think I'm a woman. And it's hard for me to imagine some of that, but you see, this is the way they think. They think that right is wrong and wrong is right. The Bible talks about that. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. This is what is going on. The mystery of iniquity, the lawlessness. They are a law unto themselves. They only want what pertains to them as being right and everything else as being wrong. And so these people are out there, they're lawless, and they write, and this is wrong, we've got to do something about it. And you build them up and so on like that. And the next thing you know, they're out there attempting to assassinate the president. Now, not every one of them are like that, but there's a lot of them out there. A lot of those that are liberal out there think that their perversion of the truth is right and that the truth is wrong. And then in John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The liberals today do not think of themselves as being a child of the devil, but they are. Anyone, no matter how often they say, God bless America, anyone that opposes truth and attempts to kill those who stand for right are children of the devil. Jesus said about them trying to kill him, said, how can we be children of the devil? He said, because you seek to kill me. If you were of God, you'd love me. And so they're the children of the devil out there trying to assassinate the president. I'm not saying the president's a saint. I don't even know if the man's a Christian or not. But he's doing good things, reading through the Bible and promoting godly things. And those that are opposed to someone that's building up godly things, they are children of the devil, because that was the devil's job, to try and defeat God. That's what he's doing, trying to defeat God all along. Has God really said? He said to Eve and got them to sin and to think that their way was right. They're children of the devil. They are children of the devil. No matter, they say, well, God bless America. Well, they can say God bless America if they want to. Well, the devil doesn't care how often you go to church, as long as you don't surrender your life to God. He doesn't care how often you go to church, as long as the church that doesn't preach the truth. Jeremiah says about those prophets that aren't prophesying the truth. He said, they're an abomination to me. Those are not preaching the truth. There are those in the pulpits today, and some of them may be Christians, but they refuse to speak out against some of these things, and they are just playing right into the devil's hands. Devil can get, he said, those people, I don't care if you go to church there or not. Why? They're not going to announce some things that are wrong. They're just going to pat you on the back and pat you in the head and say, you're doing all right. Just keep on giving to the church. You keep coming to church, you'll be all right. They are children of the devil. And Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scattereth. In other words, there's two things you can be, either saved or lost. You need to be with God or against God. And when you're against the things of a godly nation, against the things of the Christian foundation, you're not of God. Jesus said, you're scattering. You're not with me. You are against me. We're either for God and his ways, his commands, his lifestyle, and so on, or we are against them. Those are for abortion. Those that are for sodomy, for reassignment, sex reassignment, transgender, and so on, they're all opposed to God. And remember what we said that one word means? It means to howl. They howl long and loud. But the truth is the truth, and they disregard and they are opposed to the truth. Well, the last one that I want to share with you this morning, in John chapter 15, Jesus said, they hated both me and my Father. And he said, the world hates you. He said, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. There are a lot of God haters out there. People say, I don't hate God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Don't tell me you hate God. So, I love God. No, you don't love God. We think love is this old warm feeling about, no. God says something, listen to what God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. See, God doesn't equate, he doesn't say, because you don't have good feelings about me, you hate me. No. He said, because you disobey my commandments. You have idols. You set up idols. You worship something other than me. See, it's the living contrary to God's commands and God's precepts that says that you hate God. God says, you'll not steal, but you go and steal. You'll not lie, that you will love even your enemies. You don't do that, then you are hating God. God equates hating him with disobeying his command. Atheists hate God. Oh, you might say, they don't believe in God, so how can you say they hate God? Well, if they would not hate God, then they would not do so much to eliminate the thought, the mention, or the practice of Christianity. of worshiping and obeying God. If they were not convicted in their hearts of their wrong, they wouldn't fight so hard against someone who they say doesn't exist. Now, I don't believe in gremlins, so I don't develop a campaign or try to force people to do away with them, to say, hey, there's no gremlins out there and you can't do anything with gremlins. They don't exist. If the atheists did not have any guilt, they would simply allow us to worship, praise, and serve God without any interference. These guys, they say they're atheists, they don't believe in God, but they do everything to eliminate God because of their guilty heart. And they know they're guilty. Deep down inside, they know they're guilty. So they want to eliminate God. The haters, the God haters, they're everywhere. Now, these are not the only reasons that we're having so many. Like I said, this is not exhaustive. But these few, I believe, the Bible speaks about as to why we're seeing a lot of these things. Now, the question for you this morning is, where are you at spiritually? Have you found yourself in any of those today? I commend to you, Jesus Christ, that you confess your sin and ask for forgiveness through his finished work on the cross. Make me your child, Jesus. Come and change me. He will do that. Father, I pray for all those listening to my voice. I pray that you'll speak to hearts out there everywhere. Believer or those who say they're not believers, some who say they aren't, but maybe they are. I pray you'll convict them. Get a hold of preachers out there everywhere, Father. Bless according to your power, your glory. I pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen. We'll be right back.